Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Well, Governor Lamont, I hate to put you on the spot, but today we're probably not going to talk much about the pandemic. It's pretty much going to be all about the power outages. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Melissa.
I think this is the jarring question. Is this just really bad management from our utility companies, or is this retaliation? Why is this happening?
Well, it's certainly not retaliation. I don't know what that means.
Because of the price hike. I think a lot of people are worried about the price hike, and then a week and a half later, well, we're just going to take our sweet time getting the power back on.
No, yeah, I don't subscribe to that.
Okay.
We were hit by a really severe storm. And I think the utilities, particularly Eversource, should have been better prepared. UI, United Illuminating, more down in Bridgeport and New Haven, they had more people pre-positioned ready to go. And I think that was wise. They erred on the side of caution. I'm not sure that Eversource did that. That said, I met with the CEO yesterday. We said, plenty of time to figure out what went wrong in the past. Let's double the number of people you got on the ground by the end of today and make sure we get the overwhelming majority of people up and operating by the end of the weekend. And we're going to be watching you like a hawk on this. So let's see if they deliver.
I thought, and maybe I read this in a report, I thought it was in your press release, though, Governor. Didn't it say something like it seemed like they really didn't have any urgency with this when you talked to them?
Yeah. I mean, don't tell me it's a really bad storm, and it is what it is, and we're getting to it. You're a senior. You're living alone at home. Food's in your refrigerator. It's rotting. You don't have air conditioning, and you've got to understand this is a severe emergency and act like it. And I think they got the message.
Okay. So, I mean, when you say you think they got the message, obviously you're not a fortune teller, but do we have any idea if this is going to mean we're going to see a mass amount of restoration by the end of today, by the end of tomorrow? Did they give you any inclination?
They said they got 1,000 crews out there now. That number is going to double today. They bring it down from New Hampshire, bring it down from Vermont, bring it down from Canada. But I'm from the Show Me State. Let's see.
Okay, so they are bringing in other states. That was one of my questions. So they are bringing other states in.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think we kind of need it at this point. You're talking about we're still looking at over 600,000 between UI and Eversource alone. 600,000 customers out of service this morning. It's pretty crazy. I mean, I know that you weren't governor at the time when Irene or when Sandy came through, but you certainly were here in Connecticut and a business owner and very much, I'm sure, in the midst of all of this. Have we seen this pattern happen before where it's underestimated how many crews should be out and having plans in place? And if that's the case and history is repeating itself, how do we avoid this going forward?
Well, 10 years ago when Sandy and Alfred, the big outage there, We started a rebuilding plan for our electric grid, and that was going to be a lot more standby power, a lot more automatic monitoring of the system, just upgrading and modernizing the plant. And here we are 10 years later and probably $100 million plus later in modernization and hardening of the plant, and we have this storm, and we lose 50% plus of our people without power.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a real debrief over the next year in terms of what did they do, what didn't they do in order to better prepare for the next storm? Because these storms are getting more and more frequent, aren't they?
It would seem that way. I mean, I'm not a meteorologist, but it certainly seems like, you know, when we had, I can just remember as a reporter when Irene and when Sandy happened, I was in Vermont and we did not expect houses to be going down rivers. We did not expect to see the damage and the destruction there. And I know just from my parents living in Connecticut, it was horrible here too. So no, I do find that this is becoming a huge issue. And, you know, when you're talking about the welfare of people, you're right. I think we've got a major issue. Now, is PURA looking into this? I know you called for an investigation into UI and Eversource. What are you looking for out of that investigation?
PURA is definitely going to be doing an investigation. right off the bat, what could they have done differently in the short term in terms of underestimating or overestimating the storm, getting more people pre-positioned, ready to go? And then looking back over time, what did we do to strengthen the infrastructure? What else do we have to do, assuming these storms are part of our new normal?
Mm-hmm. Talking to Governor Ned Lamont this morning.
Melissa, these numbers are incredible. I'm looking at Westport.
Yes.
Had almost all their people knocked out.
Correct.
97%. And right next door, Norwalk is less than half. Isn't it fascinating how different it could be depending on where that tornado happened to hit?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, even just in our own neighborhoods, it's like that. I live in Milford. And my brother lives 2 miles away from me. He lives on the other side of the Boston Post Road. I live on the orange side. He lives just in the Milford side, I guess, if you want to call it that. And, you know, he had a tree go through a window in his home. The power came back already for him. But, you know, nothing, no real damage to our home. But we still have no power. And it's a 2 mile difference. And it's just very, it's interesting how the whole thing really works. And I think that's it's a challenge for Connecticut because you could have, you know, you could have main streets that all have the lights on, but then you go on one of those side streets and they're going to be in the dark for days. So, yeah, it's very interesting to see those numbers. Westport got rocked.
Different than a hurricane where you have just broad-based 100-mile-an-hour winds or whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Here they were tornadic, right? And just these, you know, if you look out at Campo Beach, you hear Marpy, the mayor, say you can see the water spouts.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a sight. And then the water spout comes ashore, it becomes a tornado and devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, talking to Governor Ned Lamont about the power outages. Now, Governor, I know last week, just speaking to Eversource, I'm glad that we have you here this morning because a lot of our listeners are Eversource customers. And we know why the price hike happened. I guess we understand why. But what at this point are you looking to see happen so that there's a little bit of relief for our customers? First of all, you can understand why no one's going to want to pay the bill this month after what's going on now. But certainly with the price hike, people are pretty outraged about it.
Yeah. APURA, again, the regulatory board, has put a pause in that rate hike, digging into it hard. It was a 4% rate hike. A lot of it's related to what the federal government mandated, and I understand that. But we're going to take a hard look to see, is it justified? And how much of that money is going into strengthening the infrastructure? How much of that is going to salaries?
Hmm. That's a good question. Is anybody debating underground lines? We had a listener call in about that, and I don't know much on that, but is that something that's being considered?
Yeah, that's funny. I'm sitting here with Annie, and I always ask, you want to know why there are no power outages in Britain? Because they bury the utility wires.
Well, there you go. Right.
And we don't. We spend a fortune tree trimming, and then we spend a fortune repairing damage, but our wires are overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's very expensive. You know, we're saying for all new fence development, that's all got to be underground. And I think that's one of the things PURA ought to look at least for the main distribution lines, maybe they should be better strengthened. That means put them underground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not cheap.
No, no, not everything comes with a price. That's for sure. Well, Governor, I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And certainly I always look forward to talking to you. But yeah, hopefully we get some good results at least out of this investigation and we can sort of hold them to the fire a little bit. I just know it just for myself, I'm very frustrated, but I'm a nobody. But the rest of our listeners are somebodies. And I certainly feel terrible that so many people are just without power, without air conditioning, without refrigerators. It's without elevators for our elderly. It's just it's a bad situation.
Yeah, I just tell people you can go to the Eversource and UI websites. You can see the heat map on where the outages are. They're getting a schedule put together on how we get those fixed. You go to cttravelsafe.org. You can see what roads are closed. I think almost all of them are open now, with the exception of Metro North, which is only open from Stamford into New York City. I think that's changing today as well. So you can, at least we can give you the best communication possible as we crack the whip and make sure we get people up now.
We appreciate it, Governor. Thank you so much, and stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Melissa.
Mayor Ganim, I thought that you liked us the best.
I do.
Well, why were you on with Chaz and AJ for so long? I was waiting for you to come.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? I mean, I know it's a very busy morning in Bridgeport, just trying to make a little light this morning, but glad to have you.
No, my pleasure. It's just, it's terrible.
It is. It's absolutely horrendous. I love that you're speaking out about this, because if I had any, I have no leverage on anything, quite frankly, but if I did, I'd say the same exact thing. Have you had any response back from UI since what you said yesterday?
We've gotten it's incredible the way they've responded to public officials. You know, I don't run around mayor of the largest, you know, all this kind of stuff that we have. But these are positions, whether we like them or not, a responsibility. My responsibility is to almost 150,000 people in this city, many of whom have challenges in their lives that they can't deal with on the best days, health challenges. And now you get a power outage that the company, a public utility, meaning, you know, they're out there to make money, but they are regulated. They should be regulated, and they should respond to residents in need.
Yes.
They knew this. We all knew this storm was coming. Granted, a terrible storm. Well, we all watched it come up the coast of Florida. We put our preparations in place, and where are these guys? They do nothing. Now we have thousands of residents in high-rise buildings that had no elevators. Some that can't walk and in wheelchairs, some on respirators with medical needs, stuck in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even call their families because the electricity doesn't even allow them to power their cell phone.
Right.
And, you know, we're meeting as city officials. We've talked to other city officials, the governor. There's only a limited amount we can do unless they turn the power on. So we've demanded they turn the power on, not ignore people and act recklessly, put life and limb in jeopardy by their reckless inaction. They told us yesterday, they can't say they hung up on me, but they basically told me don't call this line again.
I just don't understand how they can do that. We are paying insane amounts of money. I just don't understand.
They raise your rates with a flick of a switch, and they tell you, oh, you just sit tight. Well, sit tight.
That could kill someone. To sit tight.
And God forbid it does, because the lawyers are looking at who's responsible, and unfortunately, we know who's responsible. And I've got the calls coming in here. We were out of buildings yesterday. I'm limited to a certain extent on the first what we can do. We all are. We delivered water. I feel embarrassed to say that was our response. But we try to do something.
Right.
Our fire department's there. If someone needs to come down a building, they'll carry them down the stairwell. Our fire department does that. Services is there to respond. The mayor's office is there. Public Works is out there taking down trees. They tell us they're not even restoring power yet. I said, we're going on to our third day. You're not even restoring power?
Right.
The seniors that are sitting there. I was with 20 or 30 of them yesterday, and we are just looking at me with the eyes of what is it that, you know, help us.
Right.
Help us.
Right.
So I say to the UI company, step up or get out of the way, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Our lawyers told me they want to go to court tomorrow. And force their action. You can't let people die in their apartments. You can't let people ineptitude or negligence. We want the power turned back on in Bridgeport and elsewhere. We want to turn back on now.
Mayor Ganim, my question regarding this, and I'm glad that you're pushing even legal action if that's the case. My question with this is, look, this is not your first rodeo. You have seen major storms come into Bridgeport before. You have been in office for major storms that have come to Bridgeport before. Has UI ever had this response? Or here's the thing. I'm going to be very frank with you. We have listeners who truly believe, because of the price hikes and because the governor decided, listen, we're going to suspend these upticks in the Eversource prices, you know, that there's no way they were just unprepared for a storm. Have you seen in the past that UI has been unprepared like this? Like, is this just history repeating itself, or is it just a little ironic that people have started complaining about the prices that they pay for their power, and now, boom, a huge storm comes a week and a half later, and I just don't think we're going to turn the power back on. It's a little too conspicuous to me, but I don't know if that's the case.
They shut their website down for a while yesterday. They would not respond to people. And, you know, over the years, this is not the first rodeo.
Mm-mm.
You know, they've got to expect there's a thing called human nature, Mother Nature, and they have to be prepared for it. How do you defer maintenance on having your lines in a position with tree limbs for years and years to save money, and then when a storm comes, try and deal with it at that point?
Right.
That's one of the things, too. They do nothing. No, I can remember even Governor Malloy taking them to task years back. We're doing the same thing. So they ignore us. I think they take for granted. And to a certain extent, you know what? That's the game of life. But this is the game of life or death at this point for people. And they've got to stop playing it in a reckless manner. They've got to respond. They've got to turn the power back on, or people's lives are going to become in jeopardy. We've been lucky so far. But each day that goes by, you're looking at a possible Katrina app in urban centers where they feel, and I feel too, it's been mentioned, this is discriminatory, the way they're treating people in Bridgeport and some of our high-rises. And if they don't respond, I mean, we're going to be, it looks like we're going to be in court. And that a civil court may be the softer end of this thing. Mm-hmm. Because the reckless indifference for human life, when it impacts people, goes to the level of being criminal. And this is just not something I'm in a position whether I like it or not. I wouldn't tolerate that as a human being.
Right.
I won't tolerate it as the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the other issue to this, mayor, is you and I were just talking about this the other day when you were on. You know, we just opened up splash pads, which those are closed. And, you know, we can't open up cooling centers because of the pandemic. So what a time. What a time for so many people to have absolutely no air conditioning. And something like yesterday where the air quality alert was awful. We had highs in the 90s. The humidity was unbearable. You couldn't ask for a worse combination right now. And you just kind of think, where's the human interest here? Where's the humanity?
And who are these people that control this switch? We put a face to it. I mean, people know who we're in the public official side. Mm-hmm. I was just on the phone with Mayor Rilling from Norwalk. We spoke to the governor's office yesterday, the Congress's office. You know, we're responsible because whether we like it or not, we've got these, we have to do, people know who we are and what we're doing. Who are these people that are running the UI company? Have them step up. Come on, WICC. They're hiding. They won't talk to me. They won't get on the radio. They wouldn't get on Chaz and AJ.
Right.
I don't know if you call them, if they'll get on. You know,
no, I haven't gotten a call back from Mitch Gross at all.
With COVID, you know, I think everyone took the feelings, and we still do. We're in this together. Let's all work through this. Let's work with each other in partnership. The arrogance displayed by this company to leave people potentially, and I hate to phrase it like this, potentially to die without caring, our most vulnerable population, is something that I'm not going to tolerate. I hate to just – my limit at this point is to raise my voice, and maybe from there we're taking action as a city with our emergency services, do what we can. But if we have to, we're going to get in a position to force them. Hopefully a judge will turn around and say, turn the power back on. Make your efforts. Mm-hmm. Pour your resources and hold them responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry I have to raise my voice on your show. We usually have nice, you know, even on difficult times. But, you know, on top of COVID, on top of everything that's going on, how do you put people through this? Something that could at this point be avoided. We understand power goes out, but now turn it back on. You've got the power. They've got the power to turn it back on, and we're not going to stop pounding the table until they do.
Mayor Ganim, we really appreciate your efforts this morning. Thank you for coming on with such short notice as well, and we'll talk to you again really soon. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. Next time we'll be on first.
Okay, yes. Seriously, come on.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I really do appreciate it.
Nine with you. I thought you said nine. You said, no, it's going early, so I'm glad to be here. I'll keep you posted. As I said yesterday, if stuff develops during the day, one way or the other, we'd like to keep the listeners posted through the great outreach that you do on WICC. So thanks so much.
Senator, thank you for being here this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you are, too.
We're doing subpar, I would say, after this storm. A lot of people still with the lights out, including our station here, actually. Other than the stations that are running right now, which have a generator, our entire building is still in the dark. So that's kind of the situation for more than 500,000 Connecticut residents this morning. And I would love to actually talk to you a little bit about this. What is your take on the utility companies? They're saying this morning, we just weren't prepared for a storm of this capacity to have this widespread of an outage across Connecticut. But I have to imagine, did we see the same thing for storms like Sandy and Irene? Because we didn't expect those to be so damaging either. But I don't know if we've seen this like history repeating itself, and how do we avoid it if that's the case?
That is really an excellent question, Melissa. We've all been through these storms before. Mm-hmm. It's not Eversource's first rodeo. And the simple fact is that all signs point to lack of preparedness. Going into a storm like this one, a utility should stage its mutual aid workforces. They're the ones who come from out of state, and they have to be staged, that is, prepared to be brought into the states that need that kind of help. Apparently, Eversource and other utilities may have done little or nothing to stage those kinds of relief forces. And right now, the lack of prompt and effective response, I think, is very, very questionable. And remember that this kind of failure of consumer responsiveness comes after record profits, or at least much higher profits, for Eversource this quarter as compared to last quarter, about seven times as high their profits are this time. So I'm really disappointed. I'm down here in D.C., but my family is up in Connecticut. My home is without power there. My wife, needless to say, is not exactly happy, nor should she be. And those 500,000 people who are without power, they should be unhappy as well.
Well, and it's hard to justify, especially when you hear about the price hikes from July. We know that the governor last week decided to have an investigation through PURA. And a lot of people are questioning, you know, is this retaliation or is it really that you're just unprepared? And I think that it's a good question from our listeners. You know, it's hard to think, oh, this is a coincidence. We were all really mad about your price hikes last week. The governor says we're going to freeze your rates to June. And it's sort of a burn to the money that they should be making or they believe they should be making. So, hey, this storm rolls around and we just weren't prepared. A little odd, wouldn't you say? I just think it's a little too conspicuous, quite frankly.
The timing is odd. There should be an investigation. I've asked for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is also known as FERC, to slash the transmission charges so that those rate increases will be partly diminished by that means. In other words, cutting those transmission charges will cut the overall rate increase. I've also asked for reforms in the way that the federal government regulates these state utilities, but PURA, which is the Public Utility Regulatory Authority, has responsibility in the state. It has suspended. It hasn't stopped entirely. It's just suspended those charges. Now, whether it's retaliation or whether it's just bad management, for me, is a real important question. But right now, I'm focused on getting power back for people. And that's why I am urging publicly and privately that the utilities like Eversource do a better job in getting the lights back on.
Talking to Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning, and another key item that a lot of our listeners have been worried about and have talked to us a little bit about is the stipend. So that ended, obviously, from the feds on July 31st, that $600 stipend for people. And a lot of residents now are scrambling to make ends meet, Senator. And I know that there are some industries that they don't even know the foreseeable future, like bartenders. They have no idea when they're even going to be able to go back to work, if they ever do go back to work. So do you have any kind of update on relief for any of the people who are out of work because of the pandemic?
The best I can tell you as of this morning is that the negotiations are continuing. We are insisting on a robust unemployment insurance. So the Republicans want to cut it to $200. It was, obviously, as you know, $600 per week. We want to keep it there for the foreseeable future because we're in the midst of a pandemic. People are struggling, as you say, to make ends meet, put food on the table, clothe their children. But we also need aid to state and local governments so that kids can go back to school if they're safe to reopen, but also we can avoid the layoffs of police, fire, teachers that are going to come if the state and local governments lack some kind of funding. And of course, a rental moratorium, some kind of rental assistance, along with more testing and personal protective equipment. We need to confront the healthcare crisis that continues. There needs to be a comprehensive, robust program, including, by the way, aid for the post office, because right now it's beginning to delay mail. and it says it needs money. So we want the mail to continue on time, along with the aid for hospitals and health clinics that are necessary to confront this pandemic. A robust, full, comprehensive package. Now, let me just emphasize to you, Mitch McConnell refused to come to the table for 2.5 months. He's the majority leader of the United States Senate. The Republicans control it. They said, let's take a pause. Let's see how things go. Maybe we won't need to do anything more. 3 or 4 days ago, they came out with their own proposal, slashing unemployment insurance and providing no aid for small businesses. We say another round of PPP for our small businesses, like those restaurants employing those bartenders, should be provided. And now we're in the position, after that delay by Mitch McConnell, that we've passed the deadline for the extension of unemployment insurance. So days before the expiration, he came out with his proposal, having waited for 2.5 months. That's why we are in this position of trying to negotiate as quickly as possible a really comprehensive, significant, strong package. But it is very, very difficult because Mitch McConnell, here's the dirty little secret, has said 20 of his members still want to do nothing. That's half his conference. That's half the Republican Senate.
Isn't one of the biggest reasons, though, Senator, because they question people legitimately not wanting to go back to work and using the pandemic as an excuse? That's why they wanted to slash it. And the reason I was questioning that is there a way that in this bill, if you do go with the $600 stipend, let's just say, is there a way that we can clarify that it's going to people? Because quite frankly, Senator, there are also people who have said to me directly, I'm making more money from this stipend than I did in my regular job. So I do think that it's not completely black and white. I do think that there are people who are benefiting when they maybe don't need to. There's certainly people who need the money, no question. But is there anything that lawmakers are working out to make sure that this stipend is in fact going to people who really need it, and it's not just, hey, here's $600 that you know that could help you out, and they're like, hey, I actually wasn't even making this much before the pandemic. This is great.
There are fewer of those people than there are people who are desperate.
Okay.
Who are struggling. And the administrative costs of trying to calibrate it to income are very high. So we'd wind up spending more money trying to figure out what each individual's income is. Remember all the delays and errors at the beginning of this program where people weren't getting anything and you were getting calls. I was getting calls from people who were saying, where's my check? Well, we're going to go through exactly that period again if we try to make it that complicated. But here's the way to do it, Melissa, to answer your concern. When unemployment drops, reduce the money. When it goes below 11%, reduce it from 600 to 500 or 400, whatever that is. And so when there are fewer workers than there are jobs, or at least fewer than right now out of work, then you can reduce it automatically. And that's the proposal that I think ought to be considered. But right now, in the interest of cost, minimizing the administrative costs, and in the interest of avoiding delay, we should just continue this unemployment insurance program. I know of very few employers who are saying to me, you know, there aren't enough people for me to staff. I need more employees, and I can't find any. They may find some of those employees are saying, you know, $600 is a lot of money, but I find that most people really want to work. This idea that people want to sit at home watching TV, I just don't buy it.
Okay. Well, Senator Richard Blumenthal, thank you for weighing in on some of these topics, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.